Welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast, where SearchHealthIT.com editors interview leading experts on IT strategies for healthcare leaders.
Hi, I'm Don Fluckinger here with the Center for Public Integrity's investigative reporter, Fred Schulte, whose groundbreaking series that you can read is called Cracking the Codes. Some people believe that this series of articles has contributed to CMS's recent warnings about Medicare fraud and abuse and upcoding, and perhaps it has contributed to the recent letters from Republicans in the Senate and House calling for Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius to suspend the EHR incentive program. We're going to discuss what his almost 2 years of research has unearthed about health IT's role in upcoding. Thanks for joining us today, Fred.
Good to be here.
So you were on this upcoding story long before the New York Times article that came out in late September that many of us saw. Give us a little background on why you decided to dig around the issue of healthcare billing and coding and sort of a quick summary of what you found.
Okay, well I covered the rollout of the incentive program when I was at the Huffington Post Investigative Fund, so I attended a lot of the meetings and had some familiarity with the marketing strategies that many of the companies were using to get doctors to buy the digital medical records, and many of them revolved around money, and you could see that there was a huge amount of money involved here, so that was sort of in the back of my mind. We merged with the Center for Public Integrity, and then I became involved with a project that they'd been doing that related to this massive Medicare billing database that they had obtained. And what happened was we sued CMS because they wouldn't give us the data. And then we used and looked at a decade's worth of billing and how billing had changed over the last 10 years. When our data editor had done a summary of it and printed out all the CPT codes, and I started looking at that, and the thing that caught my eye was these evaluation and management codes, because they all had time increments listed in the in their definitions. And when you looked at it, you saw everything that took a small amount of time was falling off, and everything that took more time was going up. They were almost in inverse proportion to one another. And it was going on across all the E&M codes, almost identical, but it was particularly high with emergency rooms, emergency department, physician and facility billings, and also with regular doctor office visits. So we decided to concentrate on those two areas in particular and look at why the coding levels had gone up over time, just sort of like a jet plane taking off. And we tried to figure out why that was happening and what CMS knew about it.
And so what do you think is the reason for this taking off like a jet plane? Are electronic medical records partially to blame, or what's your theory?
Well, what we originally tried to do is look at what's sort of the more accepted explanations for this, which is the patients are sicker and older. And in our Medicare billing data that we had, you couldn't really discern that there was much difference in the ages or the diagnosis codes that we were looking at over time. So then we started looking at a lot of the academic research, and you also couldn't find a lot of academic research that supported the notion that patients have been getting sicker, older, and more complex and more difficult to treat over time. We talked to a lot of the medical specialty groups, hospital groups, often I got the same sort of contention that the patients were sicker and older. But what we also started to hear just time after time after time was that electronic billing was also influencing how the coding was going. And in the industry, the position, as you know, was that well, in the past, we left a lot of money on the table because we were undercoding and not coding up to the level we should have been. Once we went to electronic health records, we were able to do that better. And that's the result of, I mean, as a result, the coding has been going that many people in the enforcement area were seeing that a little differently. And what they were seeing was the rise of the clone documentation and questions about the medical necessity of cases and the machine, in effect, being set to code at higher levels.
While you were doing your investigation, now, you mentioned you had sued CMS for information. Would you say they gave you the most difficult time or, slammed the metaphorical doors in your face while you were trying to conduct your investigative reporting, or were there other parties who also gave you a hard time?
I'd say CMS was about the hardest, by no question. I mean, we spent months trying to get CMS officials to sit down with us and discuss these findings, and there was just a lot of stalling, they said they'll talk, and then they didn't talk, and at the end, they didn't challenge at all the analysis, but would not sit down and talk about it. They did agree to provide some written answers to written questions, which we incorporated into the stories, but we were never able to get them to sit down and discuss their own data or to tell us what they had done over the years to look into this data, what types of analysis they had done. But like I said, they didn't at all say that our analysis was incorrect.
Now, there have been some rumblings from Republicans in both the House of Representatives and the Senate writing letters to Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius to review what's going on in the EHR incentive program and maybe even suspend it. How is that connected to upcoding? I know they mentioned upcoding in their letters, but how do these dots connect as far as logically?
Well, I think the upcoding was the thing that was in the news, but some of the questions that they were raising, as you know, go back many, many years, and there were the questions about whether the interoperability questions and questions about who should receive stimulus money. I remember, hearing that debate, 2-3 years ago when there was, some people were saying, well, some of these early adopters are going to end up with a lot of the meaningful use money, and if the idea was to encourage new people, why are we giving it to old people? So there was a lot of talk about those things. I think that they just really didn't get much attention. Now, you could argue, too, that they're getting attention now because there's an election coming. So it's a complicated question, but I don't really have any insight as to why they're writing right now, other than the fact that they did cite in the letters that the concern about costs increasing due to higher coding and raised questions about what the government knew about that and why they didn't anticipate this.
Well, some healthcare providers and vendors I speak to are sort of unsettled by all this stuff, and some of them might even say that your reportage on, with the Cracking the Codes article sort of brought it to the attention of the Congress people. Whether that's fair or not, they sort of have expressed to me that they feel this wave of coverage, and not just, on your website, but, the New York Times and the other outlets that have covered it, is sort of unfairly generalizing EHR technology itself as a bogeyman, the tool of fraud and abuse, and not really its main mission, which is to digitize medical records, right? So, I mean, what's your take on that? I mean, obviously, fraud is there, and, people who are willing to commit fraud will do that, whether they're doing it electronically or with paper. That's been going on since CMS has existed. But could it be that your reportage sort of helped set all this off right now, or what are you thinking?
Well, I mean, I think that these issues have been around for some time. I mean, I think that there's no question that the electronic health record can provide new ways for doctors and hospitals to game the system. I mean, I think that Medicare auditors as far back as 2006 were complaining about getting identical-looking medical records that were generated by an electronic health record. There were these cases in which, female anatomy was found in a male record. And vice versa. So there were a lot of instances that were being more questions raised about the veracity of these records that were created. So I don't think that's a new thing at all.
Well, what do you think will be the upshot of these letters from the senators and representatives to Sebelius? I mean, do you think anything will happen as far as the EHR incentive program being suspended, or do you think it's a lot of, you know, banging of gongs and cymbals, or what do you think?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, I do know that, you know, over the time that I've been working as a journalist, that I've observed that it's a lot easier for government to turn on the money tap than to shut it down. So once the I don't know that would happen here or not happen here, but I think that there's not much chance that they're going to, you know, just suspend a program that they've put all this effort into. On the other hand, I think that you know, government owes the taxpayers some explanations of some of these issues, and that, you know, oversight is something Congress is supposed to do. I mean, I think you could make an argument that there hasn't been any oversight, that there's just been unanimity, and everyone said, oh, you know, it'll be fantastic to switch from paper to electronic, and that may in fact be a great idea, and it may work out, but there are these issues out there, and, you know, I think that you could make an argument that maybe somebody in government should have figured out some of these issues before they turned on the money tap.
Right, right. Well, this has all been great stuff. I really appreciate your time today and keeping us updated on what's going on in D.C. as far as the Electronic Medical Records Incentive Program. A lot of people on edge, at least out here in the among healthcare providers. So I think they will.
Like I said, I mean, it's the kind of thing that these issues have been out there, and, you know, I mean, all you have to do is look on a manufacturer's website and look at the testimonials on there. And it says right in there that, you know, I got wired up and I billed $1 million more a year. I mean, so those kinds of testimonials are absolute SOP in the industry. So I don't think the industry should be so surprised that, you know, a reporter comes along and says, well, if you're saying that the reason to switch to this is to make more money, but the government is saying it's all about quality, then which is it? You know, and I think from a reporter's point of view, I mean, there's a lot of similarities to this too. Like for me, anyways, I covered the rollout of Medicare HMOs in Florida some time ago, and what we saw down there was the government was sort of playing two roles. So, you know, on the one hand, they're a cheerleader for bringing this new thing in. On the other hand, they're trying to regulate it, make sure it doesn't walk into a wall. And those two duties, you know, sometimes run into conflict with each other, and sometimes, you know, it's really difficult for government to be pushing something and asking doctors to do it, and then also cracking down on bad operators at the same time. So I'm not, you know, entirely sure that that's what we have here, but there's some indication that that's what's been going on.
Well, keep on it, and I'm sure we will check in with you again down the road to get updated on the things you're uncovering as far as fraud and abuse and these giant government incentive programs. Thanks a lot for your time today.
Okay, good being with you.
Thank you for listening to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast. For more information and resources about healthcare technology and electronic health records, please visit SearchHealthIT.com. Thank you.